Jared the GM, live at Bridgestone Arena. Breaking news, apparently. Ex-Auburn assistant coach Chuck Pearson, also Auburn great, has pled guilty that he took $91,000 to steer a prospect, a recruit, to a financial advisor. And I just love how 2 days ago Bruce Pearl was in this building saying, "Thank you, Commissioner, for bringing me back into the league." And now Chuck Pearson is pleading guilty.
He didn't know. He didn't know what was going on.
Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you for bringing me back in the league. Oh, it's just, it's so great. It's so rich. It's so, oh, it's awesome. So, the experts are making their bracket picks and talking about the NCAA tournament and all that. And the experts are very high on the Vols. Dickie V, well, yesterday when he was breaking down the South region, he loves Tennessee.
Well, you know, Virginia, to me, there's a little comparison. I don't know if you guys feel this way about the fact that, remember when Villanova went through that stretch where they couldn't get anywhere, getting beat early? Then when they got into the tournament, everybody said, oh, they're underachievers. I wonder if they can do it. I think the same mentality probably exists right now for Tony Bennett. And as Rishi said so well, we all know the guy can coach. But ultimately, people, you know, want to see him get to the Final Four. That really seems to be a judgment in the eyes of people if you're a success. But we know they are a success. I still think when I look at that field, and maybe because I've seen Tennessee a few times, I think Tennessee is going to be a major problem if they face Tennessee. And by the way, the committee again, Virginia play Wisconsin, good chance of that happening. I wonder why. Is it because a guy by the name Bennett used to coach Wisconsin? Just a little convenient? But I'll tell you this, I think Tennessee is the team to beat when it's all said and done in that region.
So Dickie V says Tennessee's the team to beat, likes them in the South region. And Dickie V has called every game, and he is an expert. Stephen A. Smith. And you can tell, when you listen to Stephen A. that Stephen A. has caught up on all his college basketball this weekend, this past weekend. You can tell all of Stephen A.'s opinions come from watching this past weekend. This is Stephen A. Smith.
Here's my thing. I'm a Tennessee guy.
Okay.
I like Tennessee. I watch Tennessee all weekend. I like Tennessee. I think if there's a team that can sleep, here's my reason why. They got that fire in that belly. Mm-hmm. Like Jay said, watching him do an excellent job covering this stuff over the weekend. They got an edge to them.
Yep.
They hit perimeter shots. They don't shrink in the moment. And I look at it from that perspective, that combined with, to some degree, playing with house money. Now, I know when you finish 29-5 and you're a number two seed, somebody sitting up there saying, that's a sleeper? Well, yes, in the NCAA tournament, it could potentially be that way. Because think about it. We haven't been talking about Tennessee all year. We haven't been talking about Tennessee all year. I watched them beat Kentucky. They came back from 8 down with like 258 left. I mean, they were handling their business. I give them a lot of props.
So Stephen A. and Dickie V. are on the Tennessee train, and yet, Floyd, that does not sway you over to believe in the Vols.
No, I mean, I don't, you know, anybody can cough it up in a championship game the way they did it. I can't have a lot of confidence in. Sorry, they may win it all, and I hope they do. I mean, I really do. But, I mean, I can't, if I was betting, I mean, I couldn't bet.
Solely because of what you saw in the SEC? Is it because of the championship game, or is it because of what you've seen all season out of the
championship
Vols?
Game? The championship game. I mean, oh. They were, not a single person on that team has been an SEC champion. None.
I mean, Kentucky and they've got in 2012.
I don't care about Kentucky in 2012. Tennessee this year had a chance to do something that none of those kids had ever done. And for them to go out and perform the way they performed was awful.
In 2012, Kentucky lost the SEC championship game with to Stallings and Vanderbilt. Remember, Stallings had the towel and he cried into the towel after the game was over. They lost to Vanderbilt. And they ended up winning the national championship with Anthony freaking Davis. Anthony Davis and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist and Marquise Teague and that Kentucky team ended up losing the SEC championship game and went on to win the national championship. That winning the conference championship means very little in terms of winning in the Final Four and going to the Final Four. And I think that you just think back. I mean, I remember Maryland in 2012 was loaded, and they lost the ACC championship that year and ended up being a number one seed and went on to win the national championship. So to me, I put so little weight in that SEC championship game. I don't believe in the Vols only because there's too many times where they play a second half like they played against Kentucky, but then they play, you know, a first half like they did against Kentucky where the game almost got away from them. And so I've seen the moments where Tennessee has played really good basketball, and then I've seen the moments where it just doesn't look like anybody on that team can make a shot. And I just don't feel like consistently in what's essentially going to amount to four games against legit competition, right, if you're going to win the championship. The first two, Colgate, forget it, and then the winner of Cincinnati, Iowa, who cares? You know, so forget those two. But if you're going to win a championship, they're going to have to play four legit games, right? Probably Villanova, and then either Villanova or Purdue, and then Virginia, and then, you know, UNC and Duke. Well, they can't have these spurts where they go cold or don't show up or don't make the shots, or where you're looking around like, is Schofield going to make the big shot here? No. Is Williams going to make the – no. Who's going to make the big play here? They can't have those little spurts that they've had all season against a team like Villanova and expect to win. And that's my problem, is that I feel like they've been through too many of those throughout the course of the season where we're just waiting for somebody to bring them back into the game, and they don't really have the bona fide go-to guy that can get the ball, that can take the bull by the horns and can put the team back where they need to be.
I think that's all hope. Hoping. You're hoping.
I just said they don't have it.
I know. But, I mean, I think people that are expecting them to go, I think you're just hoping. I don't see. And that's just me. And we all know I could be completely wrong. And to be honest, I hope I am, like I said. But, I mean.
The one thing that bothers me about Tennessee that you won't touch, because I know you do not. I believe in the Vols more than you believe in the Vols, and I don't believe in the Vols. The thing that gets me that you won't touch on this is the coach. The coach is the one guy who has never proven this.
In basketball and in football, those two sports, for whatever reason, everything that happens is the coach's fault. Every single thing that happens is the coach's fault. And I don't know why you pick on those two sports. I really don't. It's beyond me. But it's incredible. I mean, it's so unusual.
I don't know how I don't know how it's unusual. When you are at Texas for an extended period of time and your team consistently underachieves throughout the whole time you're there, where the one constant is you. You know, it wasn't like the players stay the same in college sports. They're all different players. Like Alabama, what's the one consistency, the one consistent with Alabama as far as their success over the last decade in football? Is it the players? No.
Players?
No. Is it the assistant coaches? No. They have new coordinators every year. It's Saban. Saban is the one consistent. So that's why they win a lot. What are the consistents in New England? Tom Brady, Bill Belichick. If Tom Brady, Bill Belichick go away, do we think the Patriots are going to win every game? No. What's the consistent in Rick Barnes and his tournament teams that have not won when they're supposed to win in the tournament? Rick Barnes. That's why I look at Rick Barnes, because every time he's had good teams at Texas, you know, hey, round of 64, Sweet 16, round of 64, Elite 8, 32, 34, 32, 64. Like, when's Rick Barnes going to go and take a team to the Final Four and win and do something with all these great players? That's just not what Rick Barnes does. He had the one miracle year with T.J. Ford in 2003, but once T.J. Ford left, the losing kept coming. So that's why I point my finger at the coach. Because unlike these guys, these Tennessee players have almost no track record in the NCAA tournament other than their two games last year. He has a 20-year period of coming up short in the NCAA tournament, just like Marty Schottenheimer, just like Dusty Baker, just like all these guys, that they just can't do it. When it comes, push comes to shove, Rick Barnes has proven to this point that he just can't do it. And now I want to see, okay, with this team, can Barnes do it? And if Barnes does it, then I'm wrong and you're right. But I don't know how you could just let Barnes off the hook, but then condemn the whole team.
I don't know. I don't know.
You have no faith in Tennessee, and yet you don't think that the coach is the reason why you don't have any faith, when the coach is the only one who has proven that you shouldn't have faith in him?
That's you talking. That's you. You think when it comes out of your mouth, it's kind of like Holy Grail. And it's really not.
I just don't think that. I just think you were too busy scouting players to understand how much Rick Barnes underachieved at Texas. That because you weren't following it, you just don't. Like you can't. You're not grasping how much of a pants pooper Rick Barnes is when it comes to the NCAA tournament.
It's not just Rick Barnes, it's everybody in basketball.
Coach K does not have that problem.
Have we talked about Coach K recently? No. We haven't even mentioned his name. But it's not. It's Vandy. It doesn't make any difference. It's Tennessee. It's wherever. And if it goes to football, it's even worse. And that's the first thing. I mean, the straw that broke the camel's back was last year when Jackson fumbled that punt. Got to fire the special teams coach.
I want to fire the special teams coach.
Guy has been fielding punts his entire life. Grew up fielding punts. And he drops one, and the first thing out of your mouth is, we got to fire the special teams
coach. Hey, in all fairness, Ian, I have wanted to fire this Titans special teams coach for a while before the Adoree Jackson fumble. And they went through about a 5-game period where they could not do anything right, correct?
You are down on the special teams coach.
I mean, Joe Buck was bad-mouthing the special teams coach on TV.
You are down on every coach in every position.
I'm not down on Coach K. Like, do you know, if Villanova plays Tennessee, the advantage I give Villanova is the coach, because they've got Jay freaking Wright, who is a great coach. If you play North Carolina, Roy Williams, even though he doesn't call timeouts and it drives me crazy, is a great coach. Coach K is a great coach. Now, you want to talk about pants pooping? Tony Bennett at Virginia may be a bigger pants pooper than Rick Barnes. But, I mean, we have a 20-year history of Rick Barnes to be able to go off of in order to judge whether or not you should be worried about the coach. And I just love that you're worried about the team, but you're not worried about the coach, when the coach has never been able to get his teams better than what they should be. And that's where my concern is. Let's take your calls on the Vols. So Floyd does not believe in him, but doesn't think Barnes is the reason why. Let's take your phone. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Your thoughts, and do you agree with the experts? Dickie V is picking Tennessee. Stephen A is picking Tennessee. How do you feel? 615-737-1025. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 1025 The Game, live from Bridgestone Arena and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
This kid, Grant Williams, I don't know. I doubt that he'll be a big-time pro. It remains to be seen. But on the collegiate level, Jay Max, you know that kind of guy? He's like a tweener. He ain't tall enough. He's not short enough. He's like in between. But damn, give him. He's looking
in
for
college,
the ball.
He'll light you up.
He's sitting up there, got a big backside turnaround spin, posts you down low, puts his hand up. Give me the rock, and I will take you to the promised land. That's what he did against Kentucky when it mattered most. I'm looking at him with those cats being able to shoot perimeter shots. By the way, he can hit perimeter shots, and I think it would be crazy for anybody to underestimate Tennessee, because when it comes down to it, it's a man's game when it counts. And you've got to have a boy that was willing to go in the post and say, move out the way. I'm going to handle my business, because evidently y'all might not be ready for this. That's Williams, and I like that.
Stephen A., all about Grant Williams.
Losing his breath.
I'm just worried about the coach. I'm worried about Rick Barnes and his tournament history, which Floyd has spent all season ignoring Rick Barnes and his previous tenures and stops and all of that stuff. But you do not believe in Tennessee like Stephen A. does, do you?
No. No.
They have the easiest draw.
Yep. And should go the farthest.
They should go to the Final Four. I mean, deep down inside, they should go to the Final Four. The one team I worry about is Villanova on their way to getting to an Elite Eight. Let's go to your phones, though, as promised. Bad Take Joe. Joe Rexroad is going to join us from Dayton, where Belmont plays tonight. We'll talk to Joe in a little bit. Nate is up next on Tennessee. Thank you for calling, and you go ahead, Nate.
Hey, brother, how are you?
Good.
Got a kind of a big picture observation with not just Tennessee, not just the Titans, not just the Predators, but there's a common thread amongst all of these programs. Every team, major team in Tennessee, is allowed to celebrate mediocrity because of the way that the fan base looks at these teams. You've got a team that goes out and gets their butts kicked by Auburn. Well, that's okay. We've got the tournament coming up, and it's okay if we were totally embarrassed. Go Vols.
Yeah, but that's like what Duke fans say, too.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Because whether you've got the Predators that have been at, let's be honest.
But do you think Duke fans don't hold Duke to a standard of championships?
No, that's my point. But Tennessee is not a championship team.
Right, but then why can Duke fans feel that way, or Kentucky fans? I mean, Kentucky didn't even get to the championship game. And Kentucky fans have moved on to the tournament. I don't know why Tennessee fans can't move on to the tournament.
Well, I'm with you on this. Now, you know, full disclosure, I'm not a Tennessee fan. I'm a Predators guy and a Tennessee guy, a Titans guy. But you look at all of these, the common thread here, as long as the coach is a nice guy, they're not willing to support somebody that gets in there and treats these programs.
Mike Mularkey took the Titans to the second round of the playoffs and got fired.
Exactly.
That, to me, is, if anything, and the fans were cheering it. Thank you, Nate. If anything, the fans were cheering it. Like, so, I mean, the fans wanted Mike Mularkey fired. The only person who didn't want them to fire Mike Mularkey was me. I was the only person who stuck my flag in there for Mike Mularkey to keep his job. Literally the only person. And Joe Retro. But, like, the fans, they wanted Mike Mularkey out of here. They wanted him fired. You can't tell me that the Nashville fans just are acceptable with mediocrity because, you know, you can't say that they're okay with it because at the end of the day, they ran out the football coach. And I don't think Tennessee fans, if the Vols get knocked out in the second round of the tournament, I don't think Vol fans are going to be okay with it like they were last year when they lost Sister Jean.
Well, I mean, once again, the only way they erase what happened this weekend is to win the national championship.
You're putting way too much stock in the SEC championship game.
The only way it's erased is if they win the national championship. If they don't, if they fail along the way.
If they go to the Final Four,
if they fail along the way, then what have you won this year?
If you go to the Final Four.
What have you won this year?
That's a regional final.
Nothing.
That's a regional championship.
You won nothing. You are like the guy that loses the championship game. You have won
nothing. Not if you
go
to the Final Four.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Great. What'd you do? I went to the Final Four. Did you get a ring?
Yes.
Did you get a hat?
Yes.
Did you get a trophy?
Yes.
No.
Yes, you do.
Great. Who cares? Final Four trophy. That's like saying here. Typical. This is typical for you.
This is college basketball.
This is
how college basketball works.
Fine.
This is college basketball, Floyd. This is not. Okay. This is like saying.
Let's
in the
go.
NFL.
That's why I don't like basketball. This is why I don't like basketball.
I don't like basketball because
I don't want participation trophies. You get a trophy for participating. Great.
Getting to the Final Four is not participating.
You know what the championship is.
Hard.
You know what this whole ladder is. This whole ladder is what you have to do your part. But it's what happens in the ladder. If you go out, if you're in with Duke and Duke loses the first game, fine. If you're in with whoever you want and they lose the first or the second game,
you get an easier
and you're
draw.
Playing a Final Four against St. John's or somebody, great. Super. Way to go. That's not the way it should work. But that's the way it works. And I understand it and I'm okay with it. But, I mean, it's not like, you know, if you don't have a true championship caliber team up there, then it's not, you know, it's all well and good, but it's fairly meaningless to me, unless you win the whole thing. Now, if you win the whole thing, then fine. Celebrate. Enjoy.
The Final Four is a big deal.
Yeah, big deal to you.
It's a big deal to everybody.
It's a big deal to you.
If you were to ask anybody, what would you rather have, an SEC championship or a Final Four? Everybody would say Final Four, fine. Except you. Nobody, the conference championships don't matter. They don't count conference championships in Kentucky. They count Final Fours. They count national championships. Like, that's what they, I mean, to me, the Final Four is a big deal. Let's go to Bernard, who's up next on Tennessee. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Bernard.
Okay, so Rick Barnes has taken, of the teams he's taken in the tournament, he's had 1 year where his team was a number one seed. You know how far they went?
Which, what? He's had one number one seed?
Right. You know how far?
Was that the T.J. Ford Texas team?
Right. They went to the Final Four. He's had two teams that were number two seeds. Do you know how far he took them?
I know he got the one with D.J. Augustine. They lost to Memphis in an Elite Eight.
And
I want to say that they lost as a three seed. Was it a three seed in 06 when they lost to Tyrus Thomas in LSU?
They were a two seed twice. He took them to Elite Eight twice when he had a two seed. The only two times he's ever had a two seed. The one time he had a one seed, he went to the Final Four. I mean, this is a guy that took over a dumpster fire at Texas. He had seven scholarship players in 98. Started the season 3-8. Ends up winning 16 of his last 20 to win the Big 12. I mean, just so to say this guy doesn't do anything above what his talent level is ridiculous.
That's not what I said. I said Rick Barnes poops his pants in the tournament.
Okay, I just told you the three teams he's had out of Holly Ray.
That's great.
That's great.
Lost to an LSU team in overtime whose best player, thank you for your call, Bernard, whose best player was 35 pounds overweight, that when he inbounded the ball, Big Baby Davis at LSU, that when he inbounded the ball, Collis Temple had to wait for Big Baby to run up the floor because he could not run anymore. Tyrus Thomas, their second best player, ended up pulling his hamstring and missed a lot of that game. And he had three NBA players and still lost. The team that had six scholarship players or whatever and went on to win 16 of 18, that is a Rick Barnes specialty, to coach up a team that is not full of good players.
Which is exactly what I said when this whole thing started and we had this whole discussion way back when. I said, you need to look at the teams he's had. How many of these guys on this Tennessee team right now are going to play in the NBA for 5, 6, 7, 8 years?
Two.
And that would be?
Williams and – I mean, one scout told me a lot about
Schofield. Wait a minute. Play. I'm talking playing. Not on a team.
Williams and
– Playing.
I think Bone will play in the NBA.
I would say none are going to play 5, 6, 7 years. None.
Josh Richardson's Zero. Like in his fifth year in the league.
So I would say that when you have a team of that caliber. Now, how many guys in Kentucky are going to play in the NBA? How many guys at LSU have a chance to play in the NBA? How many guys at Duke have a chance to play at the NBA? I don't think it's fair. I think he is playing shorthanded. And I think he has done a outstanding job during the season. Now he's going into the tournament where it really, really gets tough. And are they going to be good enough? I mean, I hope they are, but I have my questions.
Let's go to Nick, who's up next here on Jared and the GM. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, Jared, I don't know what you're smoking today, man. I've heard everything. So you take Stephen Smith for his word and – you think Tennessee's going to win it all because of Stephen A. Smith?
I didn't say they're going to win it all. I don't think – I worry about them getting past Villanova.
Okay, well, because I know you got a lot of love for the Vols, not – so I was just wondering what was up with you. But when you say it's the coach's fault, so if Pecorino gives up a couple goals tonight and the Preds lose, is that Lavia's fault?
If they lose tonight's game? No, if they underperform in the playoffs again, then I think people will point the finger at Laviolette.
Yeah, well, like your last caller said, Barnes doesn't have a real strong history out there, but you're right about the and we were across the fence last year.
I have no idea what you're saying, so I'm going to let you go.
Your phone broke up.
But I heard last year, and I'll just say this about last year. Anybody who uses last year as a defense of Rick Barnes just needs to go ahead and just cut the phone off, because Rick Barnes lost in the second round to Loyola Chicago, and they will never have a better draw than they had last year. The way the bracket played out, to get to the Final Four than they had last year. Unless Villanova,
unless it's this year.
Purdue, and Virginia all lose and they, you know, get matched. I don't even know who's at the top of that bracket. I don't even know. They get matched up with some bum at the top of that bracket, then maybe. But, I mean, let's all be realistic here. Joe Retro going to join us. He's live in Dayton where Belmont gets set to play tonight. We'll get to that, but we'll also get his take on the Vols and their draw at Kentucky and all that. Joe Retro going to join us next. Jared and the GM live from Bridgestone Arena. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared and the GM, we're live in Bridgestone Arena. Preds tonight against Toronto. Belmont tonight in the first four against Temple. Joe Retro from the Tennessean is in Dayton where that game's going on. He joins us now. Joe, we are arguing. You would be surprised. Floyd and I are kind of arguing right now. So welcome to the show.
I can't imagine. Can't imagine, guys. Just got here to Dayton and found out I don't have a driver's license and my phone doesn't work. Well, it works a little bit, obviously.
Well, I'm glad that it works at least this little bit. But, so, Floyd and I are arguing over Tennessee. Neither of us believe in the Vols making a deep run, but for different reasons. Floyd thinks, and correct me if I'm wrong here, that they just don't have the talent that some of these other teams have to make a deep run, like a Duke or a Kentucky or something like that. And I am just fully worried about the coach and his history of losing in white uniforms in the NCAA tournament. Where do you sit as far as Tennessee is concerned?
Well, I mean, look, we just saw him beat Kentucky. Now, I agree with, if you want to match him up player for player with a Duke, yeah, they're not going to, I mean, they do not match up player for player. I mean, Duke has, you know, three of the top four or five picks in the NBA draft. I agree that they are not as talented as some of these teams, although I don't know if there's a long list of teams that are, you know, measurably more talented. But I also think they make up for that with having a bunch of juniors and seniors. And, you know, look, I mean, Tennessee and Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield, Jordan Bone, I think those three guys are going to play in the NBA. They may not be top 10 picks, but I think they're NBA-level players. So, you know, they are definitely a, you know, better than the sum of your parts type team, and they have to be that. And when they play like they did against Kentucky, I think they can beat anyone and make a deep run. And then we saw, you know, when they aren't at their best, a really talented team like Auburn can run them out of a building. So as far as your Rick Barnes angle, so I don't know if I'm necessarily taking a side here, but I would take more Floyd's side because I just, look, Rick Barnes' history also includes getting to a Final Four. It's not like Rick Barnes every year has completely crapped out of the NCAA tournament. Yes, he has had a couple, two, three very notable teams that went out earlier than they should have gone out, that were too talented to go out that early. It happens in the tournament. It's happened more to him than some coaches, but his history is not all failure.
So my thing with Tennessee is I think they have an incredible draw. I mean, the one thing that worries me in their road is Villanova, possibly in a Sweet 16, and then Virginia, who, if we want to talk about coaches who, you know, choke in the tournament, that nobody does it like Tony Bennett. Does the draw, in your opinion, make us think Tennessee should be a Final Four team?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fantastic for them. You know, honestly, you know, I mean, I think you look at the second game, not ideal to have a Cincinnati maybe sitting there. And I think it will be Cincinnati. Cincinnati's a good team. I think Cincinnati's better than a seven seed, and they're an hour from home, hour and a half from home. So, you know, that's not a deal. But I think, you know, this Villanova is not – the Villanova of the past few years. I, you know, Purdue is a three seed, man, that's great draw for a three seed. If you get Purdue, I guess if Purdue gets there, that means they figure some things out. But right now that team is reeling. Their star Carson Edwards is just, he's got a bad back and he's missing everything. So I think getting to the Elite Eight game, I really like their chances. Now, Virginia, Tennessee, see, you're right about Tony Bennett. I mean, you have to look at the coach and say he choked in March. But I also think what he does, it's his style. Defensive style in this tournament, there are times when you just, like, you've got to be able to put together offensive runs and play a little bit faster tempo at times, and that's just not what they like to do. And big athletic teams like Florida State can take them out. So I don't know if it's as much the coach choking as it is just his system and what he does sometimes really gets exposed. But I would absolutely like Tennessee against Virginia if that's what the matchup is. So, and it's, you know, in Louisville, I think there's going to be Vols fans all over Columbus, but I think in Louisville to get to that second weekend, I mean, it's going to be very orange in that city.
Oh, it'll be packed.
Joe, what are your thoughts about Belmont, and how big would a win, NC2A win, be to Rick Byrd and that program?
Yeah, you know, I think it would be huge. And, I mean, I think already you guys saw Rick Byrd, you know, got emotional the other day getting in. I don't think he really thought they were going to get a bid. Frankly, I was less than 50%, even though I think that's a good case. But they got the bid. They got the respect. And so now there is a certain amount of, you know, go show why tonight. Rick Byrd has said after past losses, you know, at some point you got to move it forward and you got to go win one of these games. They obviously had Duke on the ropes, and it's about a decade ago. Didn't finish that. They've had some other games where they got run, you know, they got blown out. This is a great opportunity. You know, people sometimes look at these first four, you know, quote unquote play-in games or whatever. Hey, it's an NCAA tournament game, and it's two very similar teams, two 11 seeds. Temple's a good team, and it should be a great game. And if they get this win, I mean, I think that, well, to me, it's the biggest win in Belmont school history. I mean, you know, you could look at some of the wins over Lipscomb and getting into that first tournament and all that stuff and some of their wins to get in. But, I mean, to me, you get your first NCAA tournament win, and I think it would be number one on the list.
What would give me a rundown on Temple, the things that they have to worry about, the things that Temple does very, very well.
Yeah, well, Temple's more athletic. Temple is more athletic, and Temple is very guard-oriented. So, and they guard. I mean, Temple, you know, Fran Dunphy, and, of course, this is, you know, Fran Dunphy, another legendary coach, and, you know, he has already announced he's stepping down when the season's over. This could be his last game as a coach. Aaron McKee, of course, who was a great Temple player and a really good NBA player, is going to, and his assistant is going to take over the program. But very good defensively, small, you know, smaller than Belmont. Athletic. Now, again, that's Nick Mazinski is a huge key in this game. Can he go? If he does go and he can play like he was playing before he hurt his ankle in the OVC tournament, that's a big edge for Belmont. Temple really doesn't have anyone to deal with him. I mean, it's actually – I mean, Nick Mazinski, I think, is probably the most talented big man Rick Byrd's ever had. And they missed him badly against Murray State. But, you know, they're going to have to guard Temple's guards. They've got drivers and shooters, and that's what they do. And so Belmont's got to play great help defense, and they got to rebound the basketball. Again, if you have Nick Mazinski playing and you can get 25 minutes, 30 minutes out of him, along with Windler, I think Belmont can win on the boards handily, and I think Belmont can get a lot done on the other end of the floor.
Joe Rexroad's with us from the Tennessee, and I have a theory with this. To me, Belmont's never had a better chance to win an NCAA tournament game than today. I mean, it's not like they're a 15 seed playing Georgetown or UCLA or Duke or one of those teams when they've been put in this situation. I mean, I kind of expect Belmont to win, and I'm going to be kind of upset if they don't win. Is that like a stretch? Because we never really, you know, when the little guys get their chance in this town, we never really get upset if they lose, and everybody always cheers them on. Is it wrong to kind of look at Belmont today and say, you know what, you need to win tonight?
You know, Jared, if there's someone in this town who's going to get angry and rip Rick Byrd for losing this game, you are just the guy to do it, buddy.
Well, my thing with this is this, okay? If you're Belmont, like everybody tells me how great Belmont is all the time, and that's great, and I'm not taking anything away from them. But, like, you need to eventually win. You need to eventually, you know, the getting close against Duke my senior year of high school needs to stop being the highlight of you on the big stage.
Yeah. Well, look, hey, again, I said earlier, if you get an at-large, that's a little bit different deal. You know, you win your conference tournament. A lot of teams win their conference tournament, and they go out in their 15s and 16s, they get blown out, and everybody says, hey, it was a great year, you know. You get an at-large bid, that's a different statement. I mean, they have a better seed than Murray State, you know. So I do think there's added pressure, and Rick Byrd would say the same thing. So he has said it, you know, that at some point you got to do it. So I would agree with you. This is certainly their best chance. I mean, they've always been – They played UCLA when UCLA was great, Georgetown when Georgetown was great, Virginia when Virginia was a two seed, and actually they were, you know, down a bucket in the second half of that game and ended up losing by 12. But no, you're right. You got to win one. I mean, I don't know if it's time to just, you know, fire Rick Byrd if they don't.
But, I didn't say that.
Tillman's a fire Rick Bird.
There we go. Another basketball coach he hates.
I did not say that. Joe Rexroad's with us. Who do you think's got a better shot of going deep in the tournament, Kentucky or Tennessee?
That's a good question. You know, I honestly think Tennessee, because I just think Tennessee's one is weaker than Kentucky's one. I think North Carolina is playing fantastic basketball right now. You know, North Carolina lost by a point to Zion and Duke in the last time they met them. So I think that validated a little bit what they had done, you know, against Duke without Zion. And North Carolina also lost to Kentucky. It was kind of the turnaround Kentucky season, but sometimes that plays into something like that too. I mean, I really like North Carolina out of that region. I think Kentucky has a great road to get to that game, but I like Tennessee. If both of them are in their Elite Eight games against one seed, I absolutely like Tennessee's chances better.
Settle another argument for us, Joe. I looked at Sunday's loss for Tennessee, and I said, you know, I just kind of ignored it. I said they emptied out the cannons against Kentucky. They were emotionally spent, and it's too hard to turn it around the next day against Auburn. You lose, you get a great draw, you move on. Floyd is very disappointed in how they played Sunday. Who's right?
I'm with Floyd on this. I mean, that was embarrassing. I mean, they had the entire arena. I mean, you know, there were 19,000 Tennessee fans in Bridgestone. It's not like they were just there to continue cheering the Kentucky win, right? And they were there to see them win a championship, to hang a banner. Auburn, 1 week later, Auburn ripped a banner out of their hands, came back to beat them, denied them the first time they would have ever won consecutive SEC championships. So you're telling me a week later, I understand the Kentucky game was draining, but you're not up to try to beat that team and get a banner and get a championship? That's ridiculous.
It's not that they didn't want to, it's just they were out of gas.
They got destroyed. Well, whatever. Auburn was playing its fourth game in 4 days. I mean, come on. That was a terrible performance, and the turnovers, you know, everybody's talking about Auburn's defense, but some of those turnovers were so bad, just so bad. You know, that was a terrible performance, but maybe it'll be good for Tennessee. You know, to look like, hey, guys, you are not indestructible. And if you mess around, you're done quickly in this tournament. But I don't think you just blow that thing off.
Joe Rexro from the Tennessee and with you with us. Last one, Joe. I have a hot take. You ready?
No
for
way.
It? You ready for it? I believe, or you can call it a conspiracy theory or a hot take. I believe the committee screwed up and they meant to put Michigan State in Gonzaga's bracket. And they meant to put Michigan in Duke's bracket, but they got confused between the two, screwed up, and when they realized it was like, oh, well, too late. And that's why Michigan gets the inexplicable draw to Gonzaga, and Michigan State gets the inexplicable draw to Duke.
yeah, that's pretty smoldering, man. you know,
there's no other explanation.
Well, but they gave the explanation, and unfortunately, we've heard it before. It's really stupid. Geography is considered heavily. So if you are a higher seed and Michigan State's a 6 and Michigan's a 8, you get the better, quote-unquote, better geography. The problem is it's no benefit for Michigan State to go to Washington, D.C. They should have used common sense and not punished them by giving them Duke. But no, it was not a mistaken identity. It was their dumb geography thing, which at times they lean too much on, and you get stuff like this where a team that beats Michigan 3 times and is better and should be rewarded gets a host. But no, man, I mean, that what you said did not happen.
Joe Rexroad is in Dayton covering Belmont. Joe Rexroad, as always, from the Tennessee, and bad take, Joe. How about this hot take, Joe? Belmont goes to the Sweet 16.
But hey, I mean, Seth Davis already has a win in this game of beating Maryland. I tell you what, LSU
falling apart.
What the heck they're going to be doing, right? I don't think it's the craziest thing in the world. I mean, it's no more crazy than Loyola. Well, it's less crazy than Loyola a year ago going to the Final Four, or George Mason going to the Final Four, or VCU going to the Final Four. Talking about the Sweet 16, yeah, I can see it.
I'm telling it right now, Joe Rexro from the Tennessee, and Joe, we will see you soon.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, thanks, guys.
Joe Rexro from the Tennessee, and Bell, I'm telling you, Belmont's going to the Sweet 16. They're winning tonight. They're going to beat Maryland in a tough game, and then they're going to beat Yale, because Yale will beat LSU, because LSU has just fallen apart without their coach. That's all I'm saying. Belmont to the Sweet 16. You got faith in Belmont, Floyd?
To the Sweet 16?
Do you have faith in Belmont tonight?
Tonight, yes.
Okay. Let's take your phones, your college basketball thoughts, and then I got one on Belmont I want to get to. 615-737-1025, and we will do that next because that's what we do. Live from Bridgestone Arena, Jared and the GM at ESPN 1025 again.
During that week, there were a lot of, I don't know if you followed on TV, but all the discussion about the bowl, there were a lot of voices who came out strong for Belmont and said, you know, this team deserves to make it. How satisfying is that to hear other people talk so glowingly about your program?
Yeah, it's you know, it means a lot that I think they meant it. I mean, I don't, like I say, I didn't call anybody, any of those guys, you know, that you're talking about, whether it's Dick Vitale or Jay Billis or Matt Norlander or Seth Davis, and I didn't. It's just, I think it's what they really thought. Hopefully, we've been around long enough, and we've done things in a way that there's respect for the program. You know, it's supposed to be about what the team do each year, and it's not supposed to be about anything else. But maybe this program's earned some respect from some people like that who really care about college basketball.
Rick Byrd yesterday, and everybody has been pumping up Belmont after they lost to Murray State. Remember Magic Johnson at the tournament said both Belmont and Murray should go to the NCAA tournament, and Magic got his wish.
Yes, sir.
But now, don't you kind of feel like Belmont needs to do something with it? You know, you got your chance to be in at large. You're playing an 11 seed in a play-in game. It's not like, you know, when Belmont has gotten in the past and they have to play a two-seeded Virginia team or a two-seeded Georgetown team or a two-seeded UCLA team. I mean, they're playing another 11-seed little guy in Temple. Like, don't we look at this like a, hey, it's time for you to go do what you're supposed to do, Belmont?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be great if that were to happen. I mean, it's I mean, what he's done at Belmont with that program is nothing short of spectacular. You know, I mean, he really has done a nice job, and he's done it, you know, the right way for a number of years.
Oh, yeah, you know he's not cheating.
And, yeah, I mean, he is legit. And so, you know, for him to be able to do that and pull it off year after year after year, I mean, he is it's special what they're doing there. And it would be great for the program. It would be great for him. It would be great for everybody if, you know, if they could find a way to win this. And this is probably the, you know, best chance they've had to win one in a long time.
How much do you think the city cares about this? Because obviously Belmont, you know, usually does not make, you know, the 450 discussion on Jared and the GM, no offense to Belmont, but they just usually don't. But I think the city is going to really get behind Belmont because, like, if you're a Vandy fan, you still hope Belmont does well. If you're a Tennessee fan, you hope Belmont does well. If you're a Kentucky fan who lives here, you hope Belmont does well. It's like there's no angst against a Belmont or a Lipscomb, but just support. And so I really feel like I tweeted out, I said, calling it now, Belmont's going to win tonight, and they're going to go to the Sweet 16. And Jacob on Twitter says, well, Belmont is now screwed because I said Belmont's going to the Sweet 16.
Good point.
But I think the city's going to watch tonight, and I think they're going to get behind Belmont because I think anytime one of the little guys from our town gets into the tournament, we root for them.
Well, I mean, I would agree with you.
The problem is they're usually a 16 seed playing a 1 seed.
I think they'll probably get excited. I think they'll get into it. I think it's going to be, you know, this is going to be a good game. You know, not that the other playoff games haven't been a good one, but I think this one's going to be good from the start simply because you're talking about two, you know, fairly even teams, and there's, you know, it's not a – real, real low seed playing a real, real high seed kind of thing.
I have no idea if these teams are even. I don't know anything about Temple other than Fran Dunphy's their coach.
Yeah, I don't.
Belmont could blow them out tonight because I don't know anything about Temple.
Well, I don't know anything about them either, but I think it'll be interesting strictly from the standpoint that they're not playing Duke, you know. They're not playing North Carolina. They're playing somebody they got a shot at.
These play-in games are very odd how they work out sometimes. You know, remember Vandy played in the play-in game a couple years ago and Stallings, and then got waxed by Wichita State.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back with everybody in Stallings. Like, so maybe Belmont is going to wax this Temple team where, you know, I think there's a rumor that Fran Dumfries is going to go into retirement after the game.
I think this is last game, yeah, if they lose.
I mean, that's not a good place to be if you're Rick Byrd. You know, you're going up against a coach who's, hey, win one for me, boys. You know, you never want to be in that spot. But, I don't know anything about Temple. I know they play in the little man's AAC, which, by the way, the AAC got $1 billion today from ESPN for their contracts through, like, 2032 or something.
2032.
$1 billion, though, for that conference. Like, it's just, yeah, I don't know anything about Temple, but I'm rooting for Belmont. I do wonder how much the people in this town care. And I think they care enough. I think they're excited. I mean, they're not going to – I don't think that, like, if the first game goes into five overtimes and they push the Belmont tip to 11:30, I don't think everybody's staying up to watch Belmont tip off at 11:30. But if it's a one-point game at 11:30, I think people will stay up to watch the end of the game tonight.
Not including the old man.
You're not going to make it?
No.
You DVR it?
I will not make it.
But you support Belmont more than I support Belmont.
I do. I hope the best. I wish them the best. But I'm going to tell you what. Betty time. Got to go to sleep.
What if they were the 7 o'clock game?
Oh, I'd be right there. I'd be all in it.
So you're going to bed after the Preds. You're not going to stay up after the Preds watch Belmont game.
I'll probably fight to see the end of the Preds.
Well, doesn't that then hurt the argument of does the city care about the Belmont game tonight when you're like, I'm going to bed?
Well, I think that's going to be a problem with a few people. You know, all the kids, the older people. Yeah.
So God forbid Vanderbilt ever play a game at 9:50 and then all of a sudden.
If you were playing at 7, you know, then I mean, there'd be a lot of even kids that would watch it, I think.
I remember when I was on senior spring break in the Cayman Islands when we watched Duke come back and beat Belmont by like 2 or something like that. It was so sad. So I'm rooting for Belmont tonight. 615-737-1025. The Preds are playing Toronto today, one of the strong teams from the Eastern Conference. I have 2 big takes about tonight's game. We'll get to that next. Hal Gill going to join us in the next hour as well. It's Jared and the GM. We're live from Bridgestone Arena. It's ESPN 1025, the game.